Okay, we will finish up this third part of the lecture with the example of the heroin data. PDF page 93 starts with the introduction from the Stevenson lovely tutorial on survival analysis. The original data come from Kaplhorn and Bell, and also Hand's small data set group. And the survival time here is the time in days until the patient dropped out of the clinic or was censored at the end of the study. So it's retention in two methadone treatment clinics. And unfortunately, the clinics are confounded with dose. One clinic gives a much higher dose of methadone and therefore keeps patients much longer. So this is not an experimental study. You can see there's a basic confounding, but it's good to take a look at this as a Cox regression with more than one predictor. We'll see we have to stratify on clinic in order to get the proportional hazards assumption to be satisfied. So there's all sorts of good data analysis lessons in these data, even though it won't tell us that much about how to treat heroin addicts. So, but it is excellent data. So this is where we start with the heroin data. Here's heroin.dat. This is from Sophia's text, Handbook of Statistical Analysis Using Stata. She does this so you know what clinic you're in, you know whether your time was observed or censored, and prison, and what dose you got. So for IDs 5 through 215 here shown on this page, PDF page 94, those are our predictors. Time and status are the SURF object for outcome, observed or not. And then we have predictors, what clinic you're in, what dose you got, and whether or not you're formally in prison. Here's chapter 12, retention of heroin addicts and methadone maintenance. So 131 heroin addicts, PDF page 95, taken from Sophia's book. Time is the time from admission to the time of data collection. Variable status indicator where the time refers to dropout or end of study. End of study would be censored. Termination of treatment is time in days. You want people to last longer rather than going back to using. Variables dose, prison, and clinic. PDF page 96 for our 238 subjects. We have the data again. Endpoint is dropout from treatment or failure time, it would commonly be called. And we're going to see there's a big clinic difference, but it's confounded with dose. And we have censored data when the endpoint is interest had not occurred during the period of observation. That's got the status variable. And from Stevenson's PDF page 97, 238 subjects, median survival of 504 days. And the Kaplan-Meier, if we just do a Kaplan-Meier, this is from Sophia. Here's some stata. PDF page 97, the only stata you'll see, but you can see that clinic 2 has a big advantage in survival because it has a big advantage in dosage. The effects of dose, hazard functions to be clinics to be non-proportional. That's what we're going to do by stratification, and we'll see that shortly. So let's look at the results, PDF page 98 and 99, before we actually do the analysis. And clinic 1 compared to clinic 2. Clinic 2 patients have a much lower hazard. And confidence interval is far from 1. It's 0.25 to 0.55 compared to clinic 2. But clinic 2 has a higher dose. And we'll see there's also an effective dose. Every little bit more reduces your hazard by 0.96. And we'll see that in terms of PDF page 99. Clinic 2 has a big advantage in the hazard, and dose reduces hazard every little bit. Okay, now getting to where we've been going. I've been leading up to it, the actual data analysis example, which is shown on PDF page 100 or linked way back, our version of heroin data. And I have clinic coded 0 and 1. So the superior clinic is coded 1. And if we have our 238 people, we have 6 variables on each. The ID, the clinic 0 or 1. Status, 1 indicates the time was observed, 0 indicates it's censored. Prison is prison record, they have a prison record. And dose of methadone is in milligrams per day. That's the maximum dose they get. So for each person, you get the dose. We'll see there's a dose difference. And so we can see that for clinic 1, they did a much better job of having censored data, people still in the study. Whereas first clinic, that clinic 1 has a lot more censored data, people still in the program. And dimensions, we do a summary, and then we do a simple serve fit Kaplan-Meier version and a serve diff, and you can see there's big differences between the clinic. But our main interest is in running the Cox regression, which is Cox-Hearn. So we can take a look at the Kaplan-Meier. You can see clinic 1 never gets to 0.5 on the survival curve, as we saw from the survival curves from the previous publications, because most of them are censored. So Cox-Hearn is our main first command for doing this regression. Clinic, prison, and dose, and they are confounded, clinic and dose. So we have a serve time object, which has time and status in it. That's our outcome. How long it take? Does it depend on clinic? Well, we saw that it certainly does by serve diff, but that may be because of dose. We're not going to unconfound that. What we can see from the Cox-Hearn is that we see there's a significant effect of both clinic and dose from this multiple regression. Higher dose keeps you in longer, and there's a big difference between the two clinics, as I say, the hazard ratio 0.36 as found in the publication. So hazard goes down as you move from clinic 0 to 1, survival longer in clinic 1, dose, the higher the dose, the longer your retention time, but that's to be seen. And then prison is not quite significant, but hazard ratio indicates it's increasing your hazard, that is your probability of dropping out, just not quite significant. Pages 101 and 102 have scrawled handout version rather than the ASCII. On page 102, now we turn to page 2 of the handout. And I have it in terms of the scanned version. And want to take a look at dose by clinic. We have slightly smaller doses. If we look at the medians, median clinic 1 is 5 milligrams higher, about a median and mean. Third quartile is much higher. Some people get a whole lot more from clinic 1. That may keep them in the program rather than leaving and using heroin. So here we go to check the proportional hazards assumption. And we can see we fail badly on the global assessment. We'll take a look at, can see we fail proportional hazards assumption. It seems to be due to clinic. That is, the clinics have different baseline hazards. And so what we're going to do is do a common thing in survival analysis, stratify on clinic, allow the two clinics to have separate baseline hazards. This is what's done in the various publications. And that's done by a strata clinic That's not going to allow us to look at the differences between clinics. We're going to look at prison and dose while stratifying on clinic, within each clinic. That's going to solve our proportional hazards problem if we do a Cox CPH on the stratified model. So the fix for one fix for this, and this is the most common fix, is to rerun the Cox regression. Instead of using clinic as an explanatory variable, stratify on it so we can have different baseline hazards, each clinic and prison and dose being our predictors. And you can see prison is still not quite significant. Prison is now significant once you unconfound dose and clinic. Dose remains quite significant. As you increase the dose, you increase the retention. So the Cox CPH for the stratified model looks quite good. Nothing is complaining, and we'll take a look at the plots for those. So stratified Cox model, PDF page 103, to explain an extension of the proportional hazard model is to allow for multiple strata in the fitting procedure. Assume the subjects can be broken into multiple groups, and the hazard for subjects in the K group has its own baseline hazard. Multi-center trials, as we've seen, because of different patient populations, referral patterns, different institutions and trial may have quite different hazard rates, yet a common treatment effect across institutions. Strata play a similar role to multiple intercept terms and analysis covariance model. That is, you still have to say have the same treatment effect within each center. We'll relax that in COXME, the random effects models, in week 9. But in multi-center trials like these two clinics, they have different baseline hazards. And that'll maintain proportional hazards assumptions, as we saw. And so from PDF page 104, we have the ASCII PDF version of the handout. We can see we did a Cox BPH. And once we stratified on clinic, PDF page 104 again, just a prettier version of what I showed you before. Prison by date. Prison is significant. Dose is significant. Cox CPH is satisfied. Cox CPH rose the Pearson product moment correlation between the scale shown for residuals and time. Is there any time trend? Proportional hazard assumptions have been violated in the clinic variable, and we see the plots. You could also plot complementary log versus time. That's an old-fashioned way. We'll show you that at the end. This is a C log transformation versus time. And people used to do that before we settled on doing this Schoenfeld residuals, which we've described before. So here is the results, the plots from plot Cox CPH for the original model. And you can see dose looks pretty good. It's pretty much flat. Those residuals pass, and we didn't complain at all. But clinic, you can see there's a, I drew a red line for flat. You can see what a strong time trend there is. And for the binary clinic variable, you can see where the residuals are, but they're being pulled down. That's a time trend. That's why it's rejecting. Allowing the baseline hazards to be separate in each removes that time trend. And prison is pretty much flat. There's no real time trend there. So recapping of lecture 7, the Cox model hazard is function of baseline hazard time, PDF page 108, and some function of the covariates and the hazard ratio for different levels of Z, such as treatment and control, is not dependent on time. That's what Cox CPH is trying to get out, or C log, as we'll see. That's free of time. And so the most common form is to do the regression form, exponentiated regression form. And therefore, for the univariate case, we have one Z, say treatment control, PDF page 109. That's e to the beta hazard ratio corresponding to a one unit change in covariate Z, like going from control to treatment or clinic 0 to clinic 1 in our example. So that's just a recap. That's what Cox regression does. You can throw in a lot of other things in observational studies that may or may not help you. So in Cox model, as I said, people can look at C-log-log transformations on page 110 to get at the sort of time dependence. And that's the log of the minus log of the survival curve, which gets you the baseline hazard plus coefficient times z. It's getting at multiple regression in the hazard. This is what's called complementary log-log, and you'll see that as an option in many of the older publications. That's trying to get at time dependence. And so I say a little more about it on PDF page 111, just to be complete. So on PDF page 111, I have a lecture note version of that slide, pretty much written out before I found that slide. And we can see we start the survival curve. We can express it in terms of the cumulative hazard and work through that. And you can see you get a C log log to get the multiple regression version of baseline plus covariance. That's used in a stratified model to look for parallel curves. Should be a satisfying of the proportion hazard assumption. As we say, we have Cox CPH to do this for us, but you will see this done. And relative odds, interpretation, explanation, and coefficients. Logit model of C-log-log is one of the, this is just the documentation for C-log-log. And that'll give you various kinds of diagnostic plots. I say the C-log-log use isn't essential because we have a way of looking at the proportional hazards, but just to give you an idea, because you will see it. That comes up in interval sampling also. I think we have an example of doing that to look at proportional hazards under interval sampling next week. Just to mention a few other odds and ends in the time we have left. In the SERV-MISC package, we have other diagnostics. If you've gotten a deep introduction to various kinds of diagnostic plots for multiple regression, the same sorts of things carry over and are useful. Influence and outliers and things like that for survival analysis. Cox regression, DX plot, and the SERV-MISC package gives you a variety of diagnostic plots. You can get quite a few of them when I've run it. Cox Snell residuals are the fit. Martingale residual, best functional form of a covariate. You need to go deep into the examples to illustrate each of these, but for those of you who are used to seeing some of these sorts of things, proportional hazards check, Anderson plots and things like that. We won't touch upon all of these. We have basic diagnostics that work for us. And then the last couple slides in this collection are just redundant. I just put in a complete version of the heroin data. I did it in pieces with mine and theirs. And so we have Stevenson pages 116 to 121. It's just a collection of Stevenson's slides and Sophia's. So we have log rank test, we have Kaplan-Meier, and we have Kaplan-Meier done by in Stata, and a little more of the Stevenson doing it in R. And that's basically proportional hazards. We went through that on page 120. And another just version of Stata, just to get you to see some Stata. You can look at prison by clinic, and you could do that, of course, in R also. I just wanted to show you the various capabilities. So that ends our introduction to survival analysis, both two sample comparisons, such as Kaplan-Meier, nonparametric maximum likelihood, and then partial likelihood, proportional hazards, Cox regression, which is one of the main tools in both medical and social science analyses of time to event data. We'll come back and do the recidivism example to illustrate all these and some additional things like time dependence, and then we'll look at interval sampling, interval censoring, and how we deal with that, and a couple other extended topics in survival analysis going in week 8 and then week 9. So this is our introduction. We'll come back over some of these things. I'll begin lecture 8 with a review of Cox regression because these are a number of new ideas. But just try out the examples. Either try out AML or try out, better yet, heroin, and see that you can do the basic analyses, and then you'll see what we said about them in the lecture, and that'll provide a good introduction of being a survival analysis or surviving survival analysis, however you want to say it. Thank you very much.